Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Our next guest is someone that not only loves music, but has definitely enjoyed being able to share that love with the rest of you. Ed Roman is making his first appearance on the program today to talk to us not only about new music that he released this year, but what it's been like for him to not only see the way that his fans are responding to it, but also what it's meant for him to be able to share something that he loves so much. Ed, hello to you. And welcome back to the program.
Hey, well, it's great to be here, Cyrus, and it's a pleasure to be on the show today.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. Ed, congratulations to you on the new project. We're going to be talking more about that here in a moment, let our listeners know how they can stay in contact with you. But what has it been like for you, Ed, to not only be able to do something that you love, and that is to be able to create music, but to see the way that your fans are appreciating it?
That's a great question. You know, it's a wonderful feeling to be able to do it, and you know, art is such a necessity for me, and I think for a lot of people in general, self-expression is sort of something that everybody should sort of get involved with, whether it's like painting or drawing or sculpture or dance. And, you know, as a teacher for so many years, you know, almost 24 now actually, working with young kids, just seeing them gravitate to that kind of stuff is really important for their development. And sometimes it's harder as an older person to do those kinds of things because we're so busy with our time trying to keep up with things, it's hard to make time for that stuff. So I feel really, wow, you know, just privileged to be able to do this. And not only that, make music with my friends, share in ideas and play together and play for people, which is what I love to do. And I feel blessed. I feel completely blessed.
Well, you know, and it's something that I know that your fans are blessed to, you know, to be able to experience from you, Ed. When I was prepping for the segment, I was on your website, and we'll be giving that out a little bit later as well. But, you know, I was thinking that, you know, it has to be quite gratifying for you to hear from critics as well as just individuals who just love great music about how you seem to have that connection with them. Do you think part of that connection, Ed, has been the fact that you're really doing something that you are so passionate about and it's coming from such a genuine place?
Well, you know, another amazing question. Well, I always welcome criticism, and you know, I've been in situations before where if I'm at a gig and somebody will come up and it's in between sets or something, and I don't know them, but you know, they're like, well, I don't really dig what you were doing, and I'm okay with that. And usually, invariably, I will come back with something like, thank you, because they have an opinion. And right. In this day and age, I think it's so important for people to communicate to each other, whether there's disdainment in the argument and they're critically looking at something, or they're sharing in something that's really positive that can help each other, you know, from day to day. So for me, it's a critical thing to be able to do and to communicate that way. And then with fans and being able to hear from them about, you know, certain things and being able to relate to them on that level, it's even more vindicating because I feel like then the art has matter. And for me, it always does in that sense because, well, it's out of necessity. I'm a dyslexic. So for me, at an early age, there was this, you know, cumbersome issue with, you know, reading and writing, and it took me a long time to process words. And but music to me was always something that it was just sort of immediate self-expression. And right. I think it's really healthy for people to do that, even at an older age, like as you said, you know, get involved, do it. And I see people really having a good time. They're in my small town where I live here in Melanchthon, there's a local Legion, and I started an open mic night there. And the community comes out. There's almost 150 people that come once a month. And, you know, I have 8-year-old students that come and sing, and there's older gentlemen that come that are in their late 70s that play. And it's important that the community sees that they support it, and that a younger person can see an older person in their community without, you know, having to go to the TV or being inundated with sort of the corporate music concept of stuff, and right, really right. sort of feel part of the community. So that music is really just a big part of my life every day, you know, whether I'm teaching or I'm playing or I'm writing or I'm helping somebody else out on another project or I'm engineering something with a friend. It's always omnipresent for me.
You know, you brought up something that I think is so important, Ed, and I want to actually spend a little bit of time with that, and that is that I have found in my life especially that music has a way of cutting through demographics, cutting through racial lines, cutting through, you know, interests. I think, like, very few things can do. And what you're describing and what you're able to do there monthly is, I think, proof of that. Is that part of the power that drew you to it?
Well, yeah, and in actuality, it's still what drives me now and will keep driving me because, you know, the corporate sort of music machine has sort of boxes that they put things in. And music in general is put into boxes. And I often quote Charles Mingus when he used to say he would go to Europe and people would say he's an American artist. They didn't label him as a jazz musician. And today people would say Charles Mingus is a jazz bass player. But, you know, he's also an incredible compositional artist. He sat down, one person at that time frame, and some of the orchestrations that he came up with were incredible. But he said, you know, once you do that, you create a prejudice. And I think that's what happens today is that many years ago where people were more sort of connected to music and there were civil rights movements that were led by musicians and songs that sort of mattered. Even today we can look at a film like Finding Sugar Man and see the impact of somebody's music. They have no idea that it's transcended something in another country. And at the same time, that whole song or that has made a movement for people to be empowered. And I think that's an important thing that in some cases today has been sort of lost because there's such a focus on the ego in music. And to me, if I saw somebody as a star growing up and aspiring to be like somebody, there was things that aside from, you know, you heard crazy things in the press about stuff, but it was technical things. And the speech, the language, the poetry that came out of these people that mattered, even if there were senses of rough edges, because to me that's human, and we pretend to be perfect. We're not. We're always trying to get better. Oscar Peterson said, "I'll never stop learning till the day he died," and I think that's what we need to do as people is sort of think that way with each other. And music has shown me that. Music has, in a philosophical way, pointed these things out because aside from loving to play music and writing it, there's also this really strong presence of that everyday sort of theory or dogma in some way that you know, you keep beside you because, to me, that's also what leads me in that sort of honest process of writing as well because I have such a difficult, like, I've been hired as a musician on gigs and in a studio situation. There's charts or things have to be a certain way, and that's fine. But at the same time, it's also, you know, not contrived, but when there's that roughness or spontaneity, and that's why I love jazz music so much, because some of those recordings were cut in three takes. And if you look like at Coltrane in Giant Steps and Tommy Flanagan, the piano player, when he got the charts from Coltrane, he thought that Giant Steps was a ballad.
Right.
And little did he know that it was up-tempo at a ridiculous speed. So when you go back and you listen to those solos that Tommy did on the piano, you can hear they're sort of tempered and they're a little, you know, he's sort of working out things because he's not really, he wasn't expecting such a speed. And even Mingus himself said, if you hear Branford quote Mingus sometimes, Branford Marcellus, he'll say, like, Mingus liked to write stuff like this because he liked to hear instruments struggling. That's what life is about. It's about this struggle and getting through things. And at points, there's these epiphanies and moments where you just feel elated and times of great sorrow. And music also has that ability to fill those voids because when you're feeling great, and you're driving down the road, and you got the car going, and the windows are open, and you're listening to your favorite song, and the traffic isn't so bad. You just feel amazing. And, you know, with spring here and feeling like the cabin fever thing in the last couple of days, I've had the windows open going to town, and I put the tunes on, and I just feel great. And then at the same time, you know, music is one of those things that, like, they carry off somber moments for funerals and other, you know, really hard times in our lives.
Exactly. And, again, I think that, again, is the universal quality of it all. Again, for those who are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking to recording artist Ed Roman. We're talking to him not only about the love of music that he carries with him, but what it's been like for him to share that love through his work. Now, as I mentioned, you released a new project this year, Ed, I Told You So. We're about to hear the title track here in just a moment. You know, I was going to ask you about the pressure, but it seems as though even from your last answer that you kind of answered my question, but I will ask it in another way now. Do you find that because you approach music differently and you're not looking for the superficial acknowledgement from it, does that make it easier and give you less pressure when you release something new?
Yes, because for me, my grandfather, oh, God bless me, would always say, if you're not whistling when you go to work, you're going to the wrong job. And to me, because, you know, art, I've tried to write things that I think will be like upbeat, but I'm not trying to write it from a commercial perspective. I'm just thinking, you know, I really want to see people dance. But to me, art, and whether it's Picasso or, you know, Stravinsky or anybody that we could name that we look at it sort of as those sort of iconic people, I think are mold breakers. They're new kind of blueprint makers in a way, not to say that there's some elitist tactic behind it, but that this sort of presence of self-expression in a new way, because you know what, it's like I disagree with this it's all been done thing, because you know there are things that are chordally, structurally similar. You could say something melodically came from, you know, somebody's disposition because they were working on something at a certain time, but at the same time, the individual, every one of us has some potent thing to say at some point in time. And me, because I've been doing it for so long, I have the fortunate ability to keep doing it, and life to me is that experience. So I'd never try to put pressure on myself, because I like to look back, and I even know, you know, the growth of a musician changes over time, over many years, but I'm always looking for that sincerity in stuff, and to me that's what turns me off of stuff. And I'm not even saying newer music, but even stuff from the past that I think, well, geez, where were they coming from, like on that level? And so for me, I don't even question it. What where that ties into your comment and why it's so neat is because that's where I think people start to go, well, I got to make money, I have to pay bills, and do you compromise those things? Like on the last record, I recorded a version of Rush's Spirit of the Radio. And the libretto in that song, you know, all this machinery making modern music can still be open-hearted, not so coldly charted. It's really just a question of your honesty. And I believed that statement so much that I wanted to put that in my sort of version of the song. And I think that's the case today. So I hear it in new music today. I hear it in new music, or music from the past, excuse me. And I keep looking for it, so I don't try not to worry about it, because then I think that the music suffers.
Exactly, I totally agree with that, and it does lose the sincerity. For those who have not heard the title track from I Told You So, you're very fortunate right now, because here is Ed Roman with I Told You So. You all stay with us. We'll be back with more Conversations Live.
But I told you so. Whoa, 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 whoa. but I told you so. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I hate to say it, but I told you so.
Conversations Live. We've been speaking with the man this half hour, talking with him not only about his love of music, but the joy he finds in being able to share it with all of you, just because he does love it so much. So, Ed, I mentioned the new project is called I Told You So. It's available right now through our partner at Amazon.com, as well as through iTunes. How else can our listeners stay in contact with you, and what's coming up next for you?
Well, you can come by EdRoman.net anytime, and you can see all the dates that I'm playing, or when I'm on the radio, when I'm being interviewed on TV. And what's next is actually every month I plan to release a video, whether it's a conversational piece or an actual video, proper sort of video that will describe the song in some way. And just to sort of keep the momentum of things going and to stay in contact with people. And a lot of times I'm either talking about things on my blog, usually about political things or farming, because I'm very into farming. So, but I have a lot of projects for the future, two of which were, are really important for me. One is this documentary I'm working on my acoustic bass, which is 250 years old, and it was actually part of the Canadian Armed Forces infantry band sort of detail of instruments that they had, and it was at some of the most critically acclaimed locations during both First and Second World War, one of which in the anniversary was just yesterday, and if fans want to go to my site, they can see the YouTube video of me doing a version of Taps on this instrument. There was a number of Canadians that passed away, over 3,000 plus on that day. So what I want to do is, it's going to be called If This Bass Could Only Talk, and I'm going back 250 years. I have all the succession papers for the military people, because they actually carved the names of these people that were actually playing the instrument on the sides of the bass, as well as the locations. Like I had mentioned, Vimy Ridge is one of those places. And to find the families, see if there's any stories that they know of, take the bass back to Europe, take it to the locations in Belgium and France, play it. There'll be a bunch of music written for it, which I've already started. There's actually still instrument makers in Bohemia, which is where the bass is from, and see if we can trail it back as far as we can, and put that together in a really neat retrospect for people. And then the other thing that I'm working on, and I still have to talk to the education minister and the Jamaican government, but it's a project which is very similar to a bookmobile, because I've been traveling the West Indies, and one of the places I've been is Jamaica, because just the music scene is so incredible there. And lo and behold, there's only one school in all of Jamaica that teaches music, reading and writing to kids. So from a very young age, you know, 5 to 15, they have no musical sort of connection. And then at the age of 15, you know, if they're lucky enough to be in a school that has money to have instruments, then, you know, they have musical training. So the only school is called the Alpha Boys School, and they teach five trades there, one of which is music. So the Jamaica Music Bus will be designed to have instruments on it, as well as an accredited teacher that can teach the kids very young the basics of reading and writing. There'll be instruments on the bus for them to be able to get hands-on sort of approach to stuff, and it'll travel from school to school, and the kids can get on, and it's something I'm really passionate about. I was so impressed with the sort of tactical savvy in the kids there. Jamaica is one of those places that they have so little, but they're such a giving people at the same time, very open-hearted people, and extremely, extremely talented people. And I was with kids, I bought a couple of guitars, and we were playing football, and from town to town, wherever we would go, you know, I would give a kid a guitar, I'd show him a few chords, we'd go play football, I'd come back, and this kid was already playing it, and he was even showing it to his friends. And
wow.
It struck me that they're not inundated with so much technology, so they're still so interested in something as basic as an acoustic guitar. And then the
right.
last time I was there, I actually sought out and met Bunny Whaler. And Bunny Whaler's been trying to start a school now for a couple of years, and we met and talked for about an hour, and he's the last surviving member of Bob Marley and the Whalers. And it was a wonderful meeting, and he agreed to endorse the project. So I'm going to start a fundraising campaign as soon as I can to try to get some money together to make it all happen. So that's the plan. You know, and other than working on the getting the record out there and talking to fans and playing more, that's what I'm up to.
So, again, they can stay in contact with you at edroman.net. That is the website. Ed is also, I should mention, on social media as well. You can stay connected with him, again, through the website to find that out. We actually tagged him on his Facebook and Twitter pages as well to make it easy for you guys to find him there. Ed, congratulations again on I Told You So, and thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, man, it was a pleasure being here. Nice talking to you. Great questions and good conversationalist, man.
But thank you. I appreciate that, and we thank all of you for tuning in as well. If you came in late and missed part of the conversation with Ed, don't worry. You can catch the entire podcast here about 5 minutes after we go off the air. All you have to do is go to our radio website at conversationsliveradio.com. That's conversations with an S, liveradio.com. Also, if you're friends with us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, the link's already available on both of those places. You can head over to facebook.com/CyrusWeb or twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Click on the link there. You can listen to the show completely for free and also share it with your friends using the social media buttons you'll find there. Until next time, I am Cyrus Webb saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.